It's hard to imagine getting through childhood without being picked on at some point, but a sustained pattern of bullying can be traumatic to a child who feels defenseless and overwhelmed.
Children who are victims tend to have low self-esteem, to feel depressed and anxious, to feel very isolated at school. They have higher levels of absenteeism from school, higher levels of complaints about headaches and stomach aches and that kind of thing.
Williams College psychology professor Marlene Sandstrom studies childhood bullying, which ranges from harassment to threats to physical aggression. The National Association of School Psychologists estimates that as many as 30% of students are either perpetrators or victims of bullying, and some youths are both. The most common targets are kids who are perceived as gay or who are disabled or overweight. Susan Engel directs the teaching program at Williams.
I had a kid when I was lecturing on this in introduction to psychology class, and there were like 200 students in the auditorium, and this girl came up to me and talked. She was a freshman at college, and she talked about having been bullied as a kid. And she said, I came home one day and said, I'm never going to school again. I'd rather do nothing for the next 10 years than have to face those bullies again.
Bullying may be the most common form of violence in our society. And while many of these mean-spirited encounters take place in person, in the schoolyard or hallway, increasingly they occur through the anonymity of electronic communication.
I'm an above-the-knee amputee, and which means that I use a prosthetic to get around or use crutches. Since seventh grade, use both.
Lorella Praley is a political science student at Quinnipiac University in Connecticut. At age two, she lost most of her leg in a car accident in Peru, where she was born. In middle school, after coming to the United States, some of the kids would taunt her using names like Peg Leg and Border Hopper. Then it started popping up in messages on her computer.
I would get into these conversations, then I would block the person, and then another name would pop up. And along with that came profiles, right? And it would say names, it would be my name, gadgets, peg leg, location, border hopper, and then you would block it, and then another one would come up. After about a week, or a little bit longer, I would print out all of these conversations, which is when I brought them to school and, talked to the people at my school. And then the police got involved, and that's how it, I guess, stopped.
Were you ever able to identify who was sending these messages?
Yeah. That was common knowledge from the beginning. It was a person in a year ahead of me. So I was in seventh grade and this person was in eighth grade. So this was happening online, but she was also in my school. And I have a very clear memory of going to school and the buses were lined up as we were walking out and she would start to imitate the way I walk. And I have somewhat of a limp when I walk. And then screaming to me, just go back to where you came from. I think that was the hardest out of, aside from feeling like I couldn't get away from what she was saying online, then I was also confronted with this at school.
In recent years, Lorella has participated in an anti-bullying program established in 1995 by the Anti-Defamation League, or ADL. It has helped her to learn about the problem of bullying and potential solutions.
I was embarrassed and, to some extent, ashamed and wanted to keep it private, right? So I didn't go home and discuss this with my mother. I wanted to just take care of it on my own and make it go away, which I think it's a common feeling by those who experience bullying.
I'm curious to know what your reflections are on why somebody might be motivated to pick on somebody, especially somebody with a disability, in such a heartless way.
Mm-hmm. I think also from ADL training, I've gathered that you know, they are struggling. So the bully isn't bullying you because he or she is happy with themselves or with their lives. They are struggling with a number of things, and they need to feel like they are in power. And in order to do that, there's this need to put someone else down. So, you know, as I think about it, I'm sorry that maybe I couldn't see that at the moment. I was very young, and that I couldn't see that this person really needed help more than what she, you know, not so much that she wanted to hurt me, but that she was struggling with a number of things.
Lorella Praley believes in effective intervention by adults and others in the school community to protect children who are being intimidated and frightened. But she says that targets of bullying do not have to feel like helpless victims.
It's important to move away from hating or, you know, strongly disliking the bully. And it's hard. It's hard to be the bigger person or to rise up to essentially what we're called to be, who we're called to be and what we're called to do, which is to see others not for their weaknesses or to recognize their struggle and to want to extend a hand. And I think that is difficult.
Even in the case of somebody who's sort of tormenting you.
Especially in that case, right? So I would say that it makes you stronger because it makes you deal or with something that is sensitive for you or from the beginning. So, for example, like growing up with a disability isn't always easy. And you have days when you feel really good and then days when you don't. So to be able to really work with that and appreciate that, you know, you've been giving this gift essentially, and to take it and not see it as a disability, but as I like to call it, a disability, which is just a difference.
DIFF ability?
DIFFA ability, yeah.
Okay.